Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. Fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pertec Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge. But there's a kicker. All proceeds are donated to Pertec's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register, and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pertecfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference, just like Pertec does. Welcome back to Andy Raymond Unfiltered. This is the Legend Series with Jim Leese, Part 2. Enjoy.
A great year, an unbelievable year, but unfortunately, oh, that's right, and we got one step before the grand final.
Yeah.
We got beaten by East, and sadly, we in both rounds against Canterbury, we won the comp in 1980. West gave them a touch up in both rounds by a fair bit,
and they were the premiers that year.
Yes, oh. Yeah. I didn't watch the grand final. I was a little bit peeved.
Yeah,
probably a word. I probably won't say that on air.
I bet you were. Dalium Rookie of the Year, Dalium Lock of the Year. What do those awards mean to you? Not so much then, but what do they mean more now as you sort of reflect?
Well. Yes and yes, they do. But as I said, I was 22. I just took everything in stride.
Yeah.
And when it just happens, all that stuff happens so quick. I didn't really have time to think about it. But looking back on what you've said about the first year, it's unbelievable debut year. Just being thankful that someone else thought I was good enough to get those representative Guernseys and a couple of Dally M's as well.
Certainly, Jimmy, I've been waiting to ask this question. I'm going to take you back to Tuesday, the 8th of July, 1980. The Knights State of Origin, as we know it, was born. Lang Park in the first game. What do you remember from it?
First game of State of Origin? Arthur Beetson. Running out before that, Andy slips stuff on his Guernsey.
That's right.
Eyes rolling. I'm not too sure what sort of energy pills he was on, but it was definitely on a high. And the roar of the crowd was scary. Just great memories. Like, as I said, you didn't really think about it too much at that point. But looking back, being part of Birth of Origin, I'm just totally blessed to play against some of those great players that were sort of unknown, like Mal Meninga and Wally Lewis at that stage. And then you had the Artie and all those other guys, that
superstars.
Kerry Basted, and Chrissy Close. I toured with him. He was dynamic that night.
Yeah.
Made me look like a turtle there at one stage trying to catch him.
Interstate rugby league versus State of Origin. Was it a big difference?
The speed of the match in that first day of Origin, just unbelievable.
Did the interstate footy have the same emotion and rivalry as Origin?
Yeah, well, I came off the bench prior to that.
Yep.
I had that one game. It was very low key. It was played midweek at Leichhardt Oval. There wasn't much of a crowd there. It was more about opportunity for a young bloke like myself.
Mm.
Got my first Blues Guernsey. I actually got a cork in the leg on this in the match that weekend. Yeah, I was out in Centennial Park trying to run it out before the medical because there was no chance I was going to miss out on that opportunity.
Was it big, the first State of Origin and the build-up to that, the game we're talking about at Lang Park? Was there a different build-up?
No. I think it was quite the opposite because you had all those cynics and I believe some of the Sydney players probably withdrew.
Wow.
Through, like, they'd pulled out saying they had an injury.
Yep.
As a young gentleman like myself, I was actually picked as second row and Ray Price was picked at lock. Ray Price pulled out, so I got selected. They moved me to lock. So a very good memory. And
yeah.
As I said, I was keen as mustard. Probably not so much some of the older fellas.
Yeah.
Because they'd done so much in their career. Tommy Rudonick was completely opposite. Love that Blues Guernsey, Mad Dog. Great leader. Led me into that game, looked after me so much. Just about State of Origin on that first one, the birth is Tom Rudonigus and Arthur Beetson.
Absolutely it is. We've had Ray Price on the podcast previously. What was Pricey like to play against?
He was my roomie on the tour. I was young, keen to go out and have a beer with Wiz and a few of the other younger fellas. Ray was nice and quiet, which was an experience, but he looked after me.
Nice.
Mr. Perpetual Motion, he was just such a competitor, like Tommy.
Yeah.
Fierce, just ever ready, hard. Got me a couple of good ones over the career. But for me personally, look, I actually enjoyed playing against the Ray Price and those other ones because it was a challenge to me to play against the man that had the mantle. Look, I enjoyed that challenge. But I think I come off second base most of the times there.
Only 30 players were there on that night, an incredible place in history, mate. But prior to this, there had been the tour of New Zealand that you mentioned earlier and you pulled on the green and gold of Australia for the first time. Proud moment?
As I said, that it happened very quickly. Like that started, they had the second interstate game.
Yep.
And I come off the bench for that. So and then they picked the Australian side to tour to New Zealand that same night. So I was in at an after function. My uncle Trev was there with me, and it was just a proud moment for me to be named. I had no expectations of getting picked for New South Wales, let alone a tour to New Zealand. Just thrilled to bits.
Mm.
And first thing I remember is going down, getting measured up for the Blazer. They said you had to go down and register. As soon as I went down there, they were trying to have a lend to me straight away, being a young country lad.
A terrific few years at the Magpies, but in the early 80s they were struggling financially. The move to Canterbury, inevitable. I mean, so many good players had left the Magpies and gone elsewhere.
Yeah, well, when I came down from Tamworth, I signed a 2-year contract and I was heading home after that. But my second year wasn't a real good year, so I was up for contract. Penrith, that third year at West, offered me a very good contract, but I stayed loyal for so much less money. So after the third year, Canterbury offered me a really good deal, and I thought it's time to try to get a house. So that was the reason, my main reason, and Canterbury was such a strong club, and I had a couple of Greg Brantnell and Chris Anderson, who I toured with that with the Australian side. So, and Bullfrog wanted me, so I thought if Bullfrog wants me, I'm going.
The difference between the Magpies and the Bulldogs were one of the top clubs again in the early 80s. The Dogs of War were forming. Was there a big difference between the two clubs?
Yes, yes. As we were talking about the money, Western Suburbs ran on spirit, yep, and opportunity for young blokes coming in that regard, and very successful considering the budget that they worked on. Mm.
Fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pertec Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge. But there's a kicker. All proceeds, yep, all proceeds are donated to Pertec's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register, and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pertecfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference, just like Pertec does.
When I went to Canterbury, the professionalism and fitness levels of everybody that was expected was way above West.
Okay.
Which surprised me, because I thought I was reasonably fit, but I was at the back end when I turned up at Canterbury, and the facilities difference between Lycombe and a little shack to a beautiful new grandstand home at Belmore with a spa and gym set up, but massive dressing rooms. Yeah, it was just light years difference.
A season after joining the Bulldogs, they win the comp, a 6-4 win over Para. You played 14 games that season, including the major semi-final, but not the grand final. What happened there?
I played – that was 84 you're talking about.
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah, 84. 83 was my first year there, and I don't think Ted Glossop liked me too much. But the second year, Warren Ryan turned up, and Phil Gill said, get yourself fit the off-season. If you deserve it, Warren will give you a go. So I worked really hard in the off-season, and I got the start first up, played the first 11 games, I think, or thereabouts. Mm. And I think we got 9 wins out of that. And then I tore a hamstring and I was out for a couple of weeks. And young Paul Langmack came in. And then I put my hand at training through a glass door, so I was out for 3 months.
Oh.
Yeah, so I only came back with about 2 or 3 rounds to go. And Warren put me on in the final for 5 or 10 minutes. To sit on the bench was disappointing, but the side was going so well, and we had unbelievably great depth, pretty much 2 first grade same sides, a forward packs was. A bit of bad luck and some other really good players that were playing really good football at the time at Canterbury.
Did you enjoy the Bulldogs and the Dogs of War?
Very much so. I still go to the Canterbury reunions and catch up with a few of the old guys that I was there with. I enjoyed West immensely, yep, and Canterbury and Cronulla, but having great success to win two premierships in the 3 years I was there,
yeah,
was great for the club and a great experience for me to be part of those successful sides.
Absolutely. What an era that was in football. That was the era I grew up on, and I'm a mad Parramatta fan, but that rivalry, the Eels and the Bulldogs in the early to mid-80s, I don't know if I've seen anything like it since, Jimmy.
Yes. Well, you had a great rivalry between Parramatta had an unbelievable back line.
Yep.
And some real hard, steady forwards, where Canterbury had real hard nut forwards compared to Parramatta,
yep,
and some great backs. So, like, it's sort of a little bit like watching tennis, watching a liner playing a net player. It was a great period and a great decade for both Canterbury and Parramatta in that era.
You mentioned Cronulla, two seasons there in 86-87, just the 9 games over the 2 years. Sometimes changing clubs works for everyone, sometimes it doesn't, I guess. Was that a frustrating couple of seasons for you?
Well, yeah, there's a bit of a story to that. I started in first grade. Jack Gibson,
yep,
give me a start. I wasn't too sure what I was going to do after Canterbury. I rang up Terry Fernley, and he had a yarn to Jack, so I went and seen Jack, and he said, yeah, we'll give you a go. Because I believed that they had a very good young side.
Yeah.
And I had, at that stage, I was getting at the back end, so my experience was a little bit higher level, so I thought I might be able to help the club. So I started in first grade, and dislocated my shoulder after probably the fourth or fifth game, and coincidentally it was at Lidcombe Oval against Western Suburbs, one of my old clubs, and how unusual. Like, that was my first club. They used to cheer for me. They had a couple of banners named leased. When I dislocated my shoulder, the crowd absolutely gave it to me, and I was in so much pain. I looked up into the crowd for West. I went, that is passion. That's what the sport's all about. You turn from hero to villain with no remorse. No, even though I was in a lot of pain, could not care less.
Oh, that's terrific. Mate, am I right in saying you left the Sharks at the end of 87 and then went to a captain coach role for a few years somewhere rurally?
Yes, that's totally correct. Yeah, I had 86, dislocated shoulder, 87, got very fit in the off season, tore my groin muscle, so I played reserve grade all season with the pain. Dr. Maloof sent me to everything he thought. He couldn't figure it out. I've gone back to the Canterbury doctor, Hugh Hazard,
yep,
walked in the door, and I'd already signed to captain coach Maxville, up the central, Nambucca Valley. And he said, you need this operation if you're going to play footy. Had to go to Adelaide for the operation. It was a success. I had 2 great years at captain coach of Maxville. 2 years seemed a long time, but looking back, it was just like a working holiday, really.
You look at your journey from, I guess, Tenterfield early, but your footy journey from Tamworth to Lidcombe to Belmore to Cronulla to Maxville. Isn't it wonderful that rugby league can provide opportunities like this and life experiences.
Yes, oh, very much so. And I've met so many friends post my career through the game, as well as the players I actually played with. It's a network. It's a great friendship. I was tied up with the Mental League, now the Family League.
Yep.
I still support a few functions here and there if I can make it. And the friendships you make through sport, and especially rugby league, is unbelievable. And I'm very thankful for the game, what it's given me. I know I said previously that I've had a new shoulder and a couple of new knees, but I wouldn't change a thing. When you're young, I had a dream, and fortunately I reached, pretty much ticked off all those boxes in my career.
You're still a footy guy, mate? You still love it?
Yeah, still love me footy. I haven't been to a lot of local games, but I have been to a few here on the Central Coast. They approached me a few months ago, so this year I'll be helping out a little bit with the junior reps for the Central Coast. So
terrific.
I'll get a little bit involved in that. And I'm also tied up with footy in the West Magpies reunion committee, and I've just put my hand up and they accepted me to go on the West Tigers Heritage Committee, which is organising reunions and functions about keeping the whole place together as far as reunions and keeping up with people. And this year they're expecting a good year for the West Tigers because it's 25 years since they smashed them together after Super League. And unfortunately, both sides has not been amicable. And I put it this way, as far as I'm concerned, it's too late to go back. Like, I'd love to have a beer with my dad, but that's never going to happen. And after 25 years, I believe everybody from both sides, from Balmain West, have got to start rowing in the same boat. And if until that happens, there's still going to be a little bit of discontent on both sides. And I think people have got to put that behind them.
Fully agree, mate. 101 NRL games, representative jerseys are plenty, a wonderful reputation as a bloke who was extremely talented, extremely humble, and gave his all for the jersey every time. It has been an absolute pleasure, Jimmy Leese. You, sir, are a legend.
Thanks very much for putting up with me, Andy.
The best footy and life talk there is. I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Legend Series. The Rugby League Superpod comes out later in the week, and the Dream Team Series on a weekend. Four podcasts every week in season on the only podcast that talks with the game's biggest names, not about them. Now, isn't it about time you left that 5-star rating and review? Make sure you come back soon, Legends.